Recorded live at Nightmare Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show, where two jamokes drink and rate craft beer while they chew the fat about the world of hard rock and heavy metal, followed up by one-on-one interviews with veterans and newcomers in the industry. I'm your official announcer, Joey Clams, and here to introduce themselves is tonight's special guest.
This is Billy Rowe from Jet Boy, and I give you the right to rock.
Without further ado, here are two co-hosts who are so metal they wear galvanized underpants. It's Genghis and Ragman.
This is Billy Rowe from Jet Boy, and you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show. Horns up.
All right, guys, you're on live with Ragman, Mono E Mono, with one of his favorite bands from late 80s, early 90s, and I have not heard from them in a little while, even though they've been pretty active, but they got some new music we can't wait to talk to their guitarist about. We got Billy Rowe from Jet Boy. Give it up. Billy, how you doing, man?
Good, how are you?
Good, man. Well, welcome. I can't say welcome back so much as... You know, it's good to hear that you guys have new product out. I was a big fan back in the day when you guys came out with the first album, Feel the Shake, and, you know, what a great record. The second record was really strong as well, and then grunge hit and destroyed all the music we loved. So, is that kind of the story for you guys that, you know, it got really challenging? Unless you decided to down-tune and put on flannel shirts and really kind of change your style, some bands, I think, said, you know what, I'm going to do other things for now, and then when the market gets better, I'll kind of come back. But is that kind of what you guys were up to?
I don't know. I guess yes and no. I mean, you know, the music climate and styles have changed through... You know, it really changes every so many years, starting back when rock and roll was born in the 50s. But you know, I mean, it was bound to happen. I mean, the 80s rock just, you know, it imploded. It just got so big. Something else comes along and the new generation of people. But, you know, a lot of those bands from the whole grunge scene, the Seattle scene and all that, they were great bands. I mean, they were really a rock and roll band. It just had a different costume on, you know. That's it. You know, we had our costumes, they had theirs, and previous to that. But it's just kind of what happens. And with Jet Boy, you know, our story's a little different. We didn't hit the success as some of our peers did. So, you know, by the time Damnation came out, that was the big kind of shift of things. And we just, you know, we tried to keep moving for a little bit, but it was time to kind of move on personally. And we all just went our own ways until 17 years later when we got back together. And, you know, we've been together ever since. So...
That's awesome. And you guys were a little bit different than that breed. I mean, some of you guys had the big hair and all that, like everybody had, but Mickey had that mohawk going, and you almost kind of had a little bit of that punk vibe going. So, you know, you almost wonder, can a guy like that or a band like that kind of survive? Or, like you said, I guess if you may have had a little bit stronger success that, you know, you could have maybe forged on. I know Warrant at that point, they went into kind of a grungy little period and then kind of went back to, you know, what we love them for. And there was another band, Little Caesar. Little Caesar's one that I thought that they would really brave the storm with the kind of style of music they were coming out with and their look at the time. A bunch of bikers, right. You know, playing rock and roll.
Sure, but, sure.
I'm always kind of curious, you know, kind of what happened. And, I mean... knowing what happened, but you know what you guys were up to, it kind of ended before you guys got back together. Were you still playing music, or did you get into like commercials? I know a lot of guys get into commercials and stuff like that. How did you occupy your time before you guys got back together?
For myself personally, I went on and after Jet Boy, Mickey Fern and I had a band called Mind Zone. And that was pretty short-lived. It was more on the heavier side, you know, Pantera was breaking and, you know, Machine Head and White Zombie, and I kind of like, you know, we always loved to, we grew up on the whole new wave of British heavy metal stuff, so it was all great stuff. And then I started another band called American Heartbreak. It was more of a pop-punky band, and, you know, and realistically, like, to survive, just work the day gig, you know? And as for the rest of us, it's... gotta do what you gotta do. So that's basically through the year. So we, you know, in a nutshell, we all kept playing music in our own way. You know, Fern was always, you know, he dove into a musical direction of what he was doing, and I was doing, and this, you know, the same thing with Mike, you know, and Nick was doing something. So, you know, when we came back together, it wasn't like we were just like, oh my god, how do we do this again? We were all actually better. We were better than we were when we left it behind. So I think that's what really led us to where we're at, and actually the whole final results of this new record, Born to Fly.
That's awesome. And well, you know, let's fast forward up to the new record. You know, what motivated you guys to say, okay, it's time to write some new music? Or had you been writing for the last several years since you've been back together? And was it just Frontiers approaching you, or were y'all already kind of thinking, hey, let's try to put out some new music? It's been a while.
Right. Well, we did put out an EP in 2010, Off Your Rocker, which had three new tracks and then three live tracks, old songs from, you know, through the genre of the band. And we've, you know, we've written little things here and there and a couple songs. We had this one song that was a bonus track on, I think, the Glam Years or something. But we've always, you know, we've always been into writing, and really when this new record came along, we kicked around the idea, we should do a new record, and I'm always saying, come on, let's write some new songs and see where it goes. And then the door opened to this, Frontiers came to us, you know, our agent, who handles a lot of the bands from the 80s, handles a couple bands that were on Frontiers already and still on Frontiers, and so the A&R guy, US rep, saw that he had handled Jet Boy for booking and asked, hey, do you think they have a new record in them? And they approached us and we said, yeah, let's do it. So it was really the opportunity came, and the pressure of like saying yes and like having to deliver a record in within a time frame, you know, tightened the screws down where we had to do it. And that kind of part of what made this whole thing happen too in the record. We really feel it's some of our best work, and we feel, you know, it's like we're picking up where we left off after Damnation.
Yeah, our whole life. Awesome, man. What, and you know, like you said, you guys did the EP back in 2010. So it's been 8 years, 8-9 years, I guess. You probably had this recorded. So I guess it felt good to kind of get back in there and do it. Was anything awkward, or everything just come natural?
It came natural. I mean, I think we all say that on how at first I think the challenge was in our head of like, oh, now we got to write at least ten new songs. You know, what do we do? But it all just started to flow, and all these songs are new songs, and the energy was at an all-time high. But just the whole band unity of myself, Mick, and Fern, the three of us, who were always the core writers of the band, it just clicked. And you know, there was just, it was so easy and so fun. It brought us even closer, and just, you know, especially when we finished it, we were just like, wow, this is like, you know, this is better than we thought it would come out. You just, you know, really didn't know how it would come out, but you know, you hope for the best. But it's like, I think we, you know, we outdid ourselves in a lot of ways. It's just a straightforward rock record. We definitely said to ourselves, we're going to write another Jet Boy record as if, you know, we were doing our third record back then, but with our experience of what we've been through, you know, life and as musicians and writers through the years that we haven't recorded a record. And that's Born to Fly.
I got to tell you, dude, it's really a really good, solid record, and there's definitely a maturity there from, you know, the previous efforts early on, and then, you know, the last one, you Damnation. Definitely a maturity, and I like that you didn't go in, and I think I love Frontiers, don't get me wrong. I think Frontiers is a godsend to melodic hard rock, and just, you know, what they've done is awesome. But I know early on, some of the acts that they were bringing out of the 80s were like, okay, we want this to kind of sound like that first record, or, you know, your big record back in the 80s. And I think they've become more hands-off with a lot of the artists, like, okay, just go do your thing, just give us something good. And
right.
I don't feel like you just went back and, okay, we did the first record again, but in 2019. Like I said, there's definitely maturity in it. And it sounds like, to me, you pulled a lot of, like, influences out. And when we dive in the record, I'll kind of explain that a little bit on kind of what I'm hearing, you know. But is that kind of what you guys went for on this record?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's inevitable for influences not to come out, you know, especially with the generation of music that we all grew up on. You know, it was some of the most impactful music in music history, I feel.
I agree.
You know, 70s rock mainly. So, you know, we the only thing we did consciously is we wanted to write great songs and great hooks and great riffs and make a great Jet Boy record of what, you know, the Jet Boy fans we have out there know of us, and that they're going to sit back and go like, wow, this is great. You know, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel or, you know, try to reinvent ourselves and follow a trend or anything, because, you know, let the bands that do that, because that's their style, do that, and we're going to do our own thing. You know, when I buy an AC/DC record, I want an AC/DC record.
There you go.
I don't care if it's the same three chords. That's what they're all about.
You exactly.
know, because that's the beauty of it. The Stones too, you know.
Motorhead as well.
So, you know, Motorhead, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why I think those bands have longevity, is because they don't try to shift and tilt anything to a direction that they're really not.
Exactly. Well, the new record, as you mentioned, was Born to Fly, coming out on Frontiers. One of the early favorites for me is Inspiration from Desperation, which to me kind of has an AC/DC kind of vibe to it. Do you have a cool story about how that song came together for you?
Just don't give a shit.
well, you know, musically would be just sitting down and picking up a guitar and just seeing what's flying around the room and catch it. You know? So, I mean, that's really how that came about, that song. And lyrically, Nick writes all the lyrics and all the melodies, and we'd send him the music, and he would sit down and with a blank piece of paper and pretty quickly have a song written. So lyrically, he can go on what it's about and all that, and I guess it's kind of got a tad of a political thing in there, but overall it's just a simple rock and roll riff, you know. It's just straightforward, don't bore us, get to the chorus, you know. And that's pretty much how all these songs were developed. There really was no, like, we got to write a song like this or that. We just kind of, like, spit riffs out, put them together as music, gave them to Mick, and by the 12th song, we got, like, we got a record.
Nice. Well yeah. do you and Fernie just kind of bounce riffs off each other? Do y'all get in a room and do it, or is it more of you're sending, like, riffs to each other through email or file sharing or something like that, or do y'all get in a room and kind of riff off each other?
A little of everything, you know. In the old days, it was always, you know, you're sitting at home and you're riffing and they're, hey, how about this one? Or sometimes Fern and I are classic at sound checking, and he'll play something or I'll play something and I'm like, what was that? You know, boom, and then you start playing that. Let me play this. And then we record it. Of course, we could do that easier now with these little phone devices.
Yeah.
Voice memo. But this record was done, you know, I did a lot of the pre-production on the demoing and all that. I'm really into Logic and recording and stuff, so... Some of the material, I would sit down and write all the music and send it to Mick, and then Fern would put his parts on top. Some Fern would come in and we'd sit down and he'd have a riff and he'd put it together. And so, it was a little bit of combination of old school and new school.
Nice.
Of writing.
Well, you know, another track I wanted to bring up, but I really dig, it's a little bit different for you guys. It's real bluesy, The Way That You Move Me. I really dig that track. It's got a cool feel to it, man.
Taking its toll on me. I can't wash the bitterness from my mouth. I can't seem to break free. But I keep pushing for a better day, a time when I can walk in the light. I think I have the answer now, there's no need to fight.
That was one of the ones we really kind of focused in on, because it's kind of the ballady song in a way, you know, but it's got that Stonesy, Rod Stewart, Maggie May vibe, but yet it's got, you know, a little more of a modern thing in there. It's a little, you know, heavier than those two bands, but that's a great song, you know. I'm very proud of that one.
I agree, man. And then the title track, Born to Fly, that's another killer one, and then that's your first video. How is that the first video y'all have shot in a while? And how did y'all pick that as a single, or was that something the label picked for you?
Well, when we finished the record, then we started kicking around, you know, title ideas. And so we delivered the record, and they said, look, we're going to pick the songs we feel we should release first, and then you can pick, and then we'll either all agree, or we're going to kick around, and we'll make it work. Funny enough, we all picked the same ones. And Born to Fly, at the end of the recording, and then when we started just listening to it, we were just like, you know, Born to Fly just feels like the right title. It's positive, it's straightforward, it really kind of, you know, for this first single and video out, it's going to really just set the presence of the band of what we were. I mean, Feel the Shake, it's very in that same vein, and, you know, we wanted to come out of the gate and people going, wow, this is like a total, this is total Jetboy. And that was the whole, you know, and it worked, you know. I think it was a great first choice, and the title's great for the album, but just being back after all these years, Born to Fly, there's something about it that just kind of, you know, gives you this positive, like, we're going somewhere with it, you know?
Oh, yeah, totally, man. Totally.
You know, and, yeah. And it is the first video we've done in a long, 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 long time.
Was it weird getting in front of the cameras and doing the kind of performance thing? It looked like you had two different, like, areas where you're on a roof in one of them, and then...
Right. Yeah, no, it was very easy to do. You know, if we're to be doing this, period, you got to love the attention as well. So, yeah, whether it's a camera or people.
There you go. Well, another track I want to bring up on the record, and this one to me had a really kind of old school feel, Jetboy, was a Broken Hearted Daydream. And that's another killer track, dude. Very good melody and just a good mid-tempo rocker. I mean, you just crank in the car and just, you know, scream at the top of your lungs with that chorus.
That's great to hear. You know, that's actually the next single, which will be released as a you know, video on this next Friday. But again, it's one of those ones that's just like super less is more, simple riff, catchy chorus, sing along, and that's, you know, we're all a huge fan of that stuff. Again, we grew up in the 70s and, you know, AM radio and all that. How could you not love that stuff? It's just, we just, you know, turn it up a notch to, you know, to a little more dirtier rock and roll vibe, and it's a great song, and it definitely represents the band, you know, of what we were way back, you know. But then I think this one has a, you know, a maturity level of it as well.
Definitely, man, definitely. And that's kind of like what you just said, you know, it's just a great song. It's a great song where you can sing, and that's kind of almost a lost art. I see it kind of coming back maybe over the last year or two, but where people are really focusing more on the song and maybe getting, not really an anthem, but something you can sing to and really get into. And I'm glad you guys are bringing that back, because I really miss it, man.
Yeah, that's the best. I mean, you know, a great song is a great song, whatever style it is. And that's the stuff that, again, you know, repeat myself, we grow up on. You know, there are a lot of bands out there, too. There's a lot of good new bands that are, they're just not mainstream, you know, and they're very sing-along, big choruses, and those are some of the bands that, you know, helped me just, like, just have fresh, good, catchy rock music through the years, like the Wild Hearts and the Backyard Babies, you know, the Helicopters, you know, Butch Walker, the Marvelous Three and all that. All those bands right there are just, like, you know, riffs and hooks and melodies, and it's, you know, it's a lost art in a lot of ways in the mainstream, you know, because music shifted and the style of writing and what choruses are, it seems like, at least to me, that's how it feels. But with a band like the Struts, who are like the mainstream rock band, and Greta Van Fleet, you know, God bless them, because we need shit like that, you know?
You definitely, yeah, need someone to fly the flag. And I mean, if you guys got the proper airplay, I could definitely see this album going somewhere. And actually, a lot of the artists on Frontiers that have some really just good rock music, but they're, unfortunately, with the exception of like satellite radio and maybe internet radio, you just don't get that push anymore like you used to where if terrestrial get their head out of their ass and program something that rather than just every song you've heard a million times, it would really be kind of cool. And if you could ever revitalize terrestrial, but I think that's kind of a dead art, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the whole music climate's shifted, so, you know, it's, I guess it's, that's what it is with that. I mean, you know, if they could make music streaming, where the artist actually benefits way more than the company streaming it, then, you know, things will very much change a lot for bands.
Yeah.
So, you know, so there is a way to make it happen. It's just, I think there's a lot of red tape to get through to do that, but hopefully it'll shift.
Exactly. Well, what's the plan to support the record? Are you guys going to do a pretty full tour? I noticed on your website you've got Monster Rock cruises coming up and stuff like that and some festivals, but do you have a tour that you're looking to maybe put together with maybe another band and go out this summer or spring?
Yeah, there's talks of stuff, nothing etched in stone, but after the cruise, you know, well, before the cruise, but, you know, we got a show coming up with the Viper Room and the record release and then doing the cruise, but our management and agent are, you know, turning the wheel of ideas, so we want to get out there and do as much as we can, you know, get this record to be heard by as many as possible, you know. It's a good rock and roll record.
I would love to see you guys play live. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see you back in the day, but I have seen here over the last, you know, year or so, where I see a lot of actually Frontiers bands touring. So in a couple weeks, I've got Red Dragon Cartel, Last in Line, bands like that starting to come out and play, where you're like, wow, am I ever going to be able to see these guys? And they're starting to come around. So I know the climate's not great. Usually, I guess, tours are probably done on weekends where you know you're going to be able to draw a crowd rather than being there on a Wednesday night and maybe 20 people showing up. But hopefully you guys can get on something and maybe partner up with another band. And, man, that would be awesome to see you guys play live.
That would be great. We're all for it. So let's let the music do the talking and make it happen.
Well, we will do our best here at the Right to Rock to spread the word and play a lot of this music on our show and get people supercharged for Born to Fly.
That's awesome. Well, it's people like you that make this stuff happen and exposing it. It's all about like tape trading in the day, you know, that all that did was help bands get to the next level. So now it's, internet radio and podcasts and blogs and websites and all that. So.
Yeah, exactly. The tape trading is so funny. I used to mail tapes to everybody with music I was into. They would send me what they're into. That's how I found like Harum Scarum and some heavier bands like Stradivarius and stuff like that back, you know, many years ago when there wasn't much going on in the 90s. That's when I started doing a bunch of tape trading. I wasn't doing it back in the 80s so much. But I was doing it in the 90s when I couldn't get my hands on anything. So you find out about it's the interesting thing about the 90s when kind of our music died over here, metal was flourishing in Europe. So there was a lot of good music actually coming out at that time. So if you had enough money to buy a bunch of CDs off from these import stores, you were doing pretty good musically.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
that's great.
Well, Billy, before we let you go, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans out there?
Hey, go pick up Born to Fly and spread the word of the new record, and hope you love it.
Well, Billy, we want to thank you for coming on the Genghis and Ragman show here on therighttorock.com. And we want to tell all the fans to grab Jet Boy's brand new record, Born to Fly, on Frontiers. Billy, it was awesome talking to you, man. I hope to catch you guys live. And you're welcome back on our show anytime, man. Anytime you have anything to promote, just let us know, man. And we will lend you a microphone.
Right on. Sounds good. Thanks for the support.
Ragman, and you've been listening to the Right to Rock podcast, and we appreciate you listening, and we want to give a big thank you to Tracy G, who is the third unofficial member of the group. We appreciate all of his work, especially the Broken Man song, which is the theme song to the Right to Rock podcast.
And also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X. Adam and Joseph have lent us 13 to finish the show, so what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out and keep checking us out. And horns up.